Well, hey, let me do, am I on? Okay, hey, it is such an honor to be with you. And let me do this, but don't sit down yet, because you need to honor your pastor. Pastor Kyle and Bethany Mills are amazing, amazing people. Come on, I want you to... So I need your help to get started, and then I'm going to kind of introduce myself to you, but I have a way of beginning my messages just to get you into part of the message and for me to get warmed up. Will you say this with me? God has a purpose for me.
God has a purpose for me.
I want to live God's story.
I want to live God's
story. So we will study His Word.
So we will study His Word.
We will respond to His Word.
We will respond to His Word.
And we will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. You can be seated. Oh, man, it is a privilege to be with you guys. Oh, yeah, here we go. And, man, I am just excited. Whoa. Let's see if I can make this work. Oh, yeah, it's working. So you're just going to have to wait why this... weird guest speaker would bring out a little kiddie bike in the middle of service before you even get started. You have to wait for that. But, man, I can't tell you how honored I am to be here. Pastor Kyle is a friend and an overseer. And he really does. He pours into our church. And I called him a couple months ago. Well, he came and spoke at Authentic Church. So I know the bar is extremely high, and I'm going to try to come, like, close to it, to what you are used to. I know what he's doing. See, I've been there before. I'm a pastor. So when I'm out of town, I don't bring in somebody that's a better speaker. I bring in somebody so when I come back, they're like, yes, Josh is back. So I know what he's doing. He brought me in so that, next week you guys will get him back. And so it is an honor to be here. And but a couple months ago, he came in, poured into our church, and then we've been growing. We're just a few steps behind you guys. You guys are blowing it up and doing some awesome things. And I'm always looking at your website and your podcast and your Facebook and going, how can I do what they're doing? And so I called him and said, hey, can I come in and learn from you guys? And then he asked me to speak. So so I'm learning. I'm just like walking around taking pictures and videos. So if I'm taking a picture or video of you, it's not because I'm learning, okay? So just stick with me. But, man, it's such an honor to be here. I want to say, man, my friend from Ohio, Ryan Jordan, is here. I grew up with Ryan, and it is so good to see you, man. And, man, I heard there's a couple of Ohio folks in here. OH? Yes. Was that game Friday night awesome? Oh, don't stick with me. Come on. Stick with me. I love you. I love the Big Ten. I cheer for the Big Ten, okay? So I want to talk to you, though, this morning, if I can get you back just for a second. A message about a question that pastors get most often. I mean, this is, if I, as a pastor, I've been asked this question, and in some one form or another, in different ways, is this question: what is the purpose for my life? What am I supposed to be doing? Like, I know I'm created, and if you're here this morning, there's a good chance you've got some respect for God, or you've got an idea of God wants to do something in your life, and I'm gonna kind of take that as a general understanding. And if you're here this morning and you're kind of questioning even that there is a God, let me just by the end of this message, I hope that you will walk out of here going, not only is there a God, but God has a purpose for me. But a lot of times we get in this idea of working on where does God, what's God want me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? What's this big picture? And we've got all these ideas. And there's a great book called Divine Direction, written by Pastor Craig Groeschel. And I would highly, highly recommend it. I kind of stole his book title, and I'm using it as my message title this morning, is Divine Direction. Divine Direction. Now I'm not going to re-preach his book because he's way smarter than me and has a lot of good stuff in there, and it's really long, and you don't want me to preach that long. But I would recommend reading it. It's got some really good things. But this morning, I just want to take a line from his book and then just walk from there. He says, the decisions we make today will determine the stories we tell tomorrow. So the decisions we make today will determine the stories we'll tell tomorrow. And so we have this ability to make choices. And we want to go where God wants us to go. We want to do what he wants us to do. We have this burning question. That's why it's one of the biggest questions we get asked as pastors, is what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And the answer sometimes gets us frustrated. We get distracted by things in our lives. I was reading a book recently. It talked about how this generation is struggling with making decisions, and there's a couple reasons they struggle with making decisions. And if you want to grab your message notes, I've got a couple things that really keep us from making decisions that are in a divine direction. And one of those things that is a divine distractor is we have so many choices. We have an abundance of choices. I'm from New Philadelphia, Ohio. Who can tell me in here that's been to New Philadelphia, Ohio? One person. One person, and he doesn't count. Yeah, oh, yeah, two. New Philadelphia is I'm going to be nice. It's podunk, okay? Like, when we tell stories, we talk about stories like Jim Bob. I'm not joking. We have the definition of redneck can be defined by our county, and I love my community. I wouldn't go anywhere else in the world if you paid me a whole lot of money. I would live and breathe for this community. But we don't have a lot of choices. Like, when it comes to going out to eat, we've got like four places. So every month, we can just rotate that in. It's like Texas Roadhouse, Hog Heaven, Wendy's. Do you get one? We got Red Lobster. We just got a Starbucks. I can now study. I now have an office. But we don't have a lot of choices. We pull into Fort Wayne, and I'm like, holy man, we can eat. There's so many, you guys, it's stupid how many choices you have. Like, they've been spoiling us with taking us to these dinners, like, where do you want to go? Like, we can go anywhere in the world. My kids were like, kept asking, are we still in Fort Wayne? Are we still in Fort Wayne? So we have this, the paradox of choice is that there are so many choices that many times we don't know what to do. And you're probably struggling with that right now. Like, where are we going to eat after service? And you have that discussion, right? And of course, the wife will say, I don't care, wherever you want to go. And the husband will make a choice. And then she'll go, but not there. And then she'll say, you'll go, okay, and how about this one? And I'm not really feeling that either. And by the time it's all said and done, you have been spent 45 minutes trying to make a choice because you have so many choices. And that's the way it is in life. We actually call it, this generation has been tagged the Netflix generation. I grew up, like, if you wanted to go watch a movie, you would have to go to a drugstore or a grocery store that had rentals, VHSs. Come on, can I get some of my older folks to preach with me here? Yeah, you had to go rent a VHS. And you would go in there, and on the day that they released the new ones, you would go in there and hope to get the new movie that you wanted to watch. And you would go and pick it up, and sure enough, they had four, and they're all gone. And so you would end up watching something that you didn't want to watch for the umpteenth time. But now, the Netflix generation, you go on there, and my kids will do this to me. It annoys the living daylights out of me. You get click on it, and then you scroll. You want to touch it? No. Let's watch the preview for that one. And no joke, an hour later, we've watched 18 previews and no movie. Because we have an abundance of choices, and it keeps us paralyzed to make a choice. Another reason that we struggle with making choices is that there's this illusion of perfection out there. The illusion of perfection. See, we grew up with this understanding that there was, we saw people and we knew people and we saw their ins and outs. Like the people I grew up with, I stayed at their house and I saw their parents fight, and I knew that they didn't have a perfect life. But in our society, we know a whole lot of people on social media. And we see their perfect life. We see their perfect workout that started at 6 a.m. We see how they went to their perfect job and they took a picture of how they love and have a passion for their stupid job. And then we see them meeting their significant other for lunch, who also has a the perfect figure, and then they eat their perfect lunch, and of course they have to post a picture of their perfect lunch, and all you can compare it to is your Pinterest fail. And that's really what happens is we go through life and we're looking at all these people who have all these things perfect, and we're equating their highlight reel to our raw footage. And there's this idea that it's this, why make a choice when I can't even ever get to that level? So why go for it? And then there's this other thing that's really crept into our society, and I experience this personally, is this over-structured schedules. Over-structured schedules. And this generation, and it's my fault as a parent that my kids are dealing with this, because from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, every moment is scheduled for them. See, when I grew up, my parents were like, just leave the house and go outside, please. And we would play things. And we would create ideas. And we would play games like we would have a little mound of dirt. And then we would get on top of it. And we would kick people off of it. Right? And we called it King of the Mountain. And we would play these games. Our kids today don't have that option to create games. They live the schedule we provide for them, where they go to school, they come home, they sit down, they have 20 minutes to do all the work they were supposed to do at school that they didn't get done, and then they have to go to baseball practice, and right after baseball practice is getting ready for basketball, and then after basketball, of course, they're playing some football at the end of the year, so we got all this is boom, 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 and then by the time you get home, you're exhausted, you go through the drive-thru, and you throw them in bed. Not you, because it just got real quiet in here. It must just miss be me. But our kids are living so overstructured that they don't learn how to make choices. And we're seeing this come about today that we have, instead of people, young men and young ladies, taking on the mantlehood of adulthood, around 18, 19 years old, they're now pushing it back to 24. Some studies are showing it to be 32 years old before people are actually acting like responsible adults. And of course, that's not you. I'm not talking to you. You guys are all amazing. And if you're in that category, you are making great choices. You're here this morning, right? And then on top of all this, and I don't have this in your notes, but you can add this to your notes. We have this in the church, this idea of God's perfect will. Romans 12:2 says that we will grow in all this, and then we will just know and hear God's perfect will. We get this concept. Like there's the whole idea of my perfect spouse is out there. And see, the problem with a perfect spouse is it only takes one person to mess that system up. And then everybody else's spouse is off that. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I messed that system up. But nowhere do we find this in Scripture that there's one perfect person for you to marry and that's the only person you can ever know. And if you mess that system up, you're done. And it's this whole idea of God's perfect will. And see, we all want Paul's life. Paul in the Bible, the guy that wrote 2/3 of the books in the New Testament, most of them are letters written to other people, and he's got this amazing, he hears the word of God, and he follows it step by step, and I mean, God tells him exactly, let me show you in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 16, let me show you this, chapter 16, verse 6, it starts like this. Now, this is Paul writing. He says in 1 Corinthians, he says, for sure, I will stay with you for 3 weeks. Man, he's very specific here, isn't he? And leave before winter so that you can help me on my journey to Rome, because he knows exactly where he's going. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I know I will spend 21 days with you, as the Lord has determined. I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost, because my plan for effective work has went into effect and no one opposes me. Man, don't we all want that life? We all want to live that, don't we? Did you see the translation on that? That's the New Living Josh version. Because it ain't real. See, we think that the Bible actually provides this idea of all this perfect stuff, and we're going to have exactly these words that are going to tell us exactly how to act and when to go and when not to go and when to stay and when to not go. And it's not in Scripture that way. In fact, there's an example where God gives a detailed write-out for a man. His name is Moses. And he gives this like detailed, hey, Moses, this is how it's going to work, and this is all going to happen. You know what Moses does?
I don't like it. Can we do it another way?
And you know what God does? God still uses the moron. And I say that affectionately because I'm living that life. Like, I've been in that place where God's going, okay, I have this for you. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. And we live this life thinking this is real. But let me show you 1 Corinthians and what it really is in the NIV, an actual translation that is legit. The NIV says this: Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter so that you can help me on the journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now. See, we don't have this fancy stuff. I need to go back to what I'm used to. Do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, and if the Lord permits. But I will stay at Ephesus, until Pentecost, because a great door of effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. See, this is this idea of all these things working exactly as we planned, and what God's going to lay it out for us. Paul's shown us the complete opposite of sometimes life is just taking the next step, not knowing what may be 5 steps ahead, let alone 5 years ahead. What might be ahead of us 20 years from now? We just need to go with what we can do next. So many times we say, God, tell me what to do. And God goes, I gave you a brain for you to learn how to use wisdom to decide. That's why the term divine direction is not divine destination. See, so many times we get so frustrated and we want things to work just exactly as we want them to go, but God says, I just want you to go in the right direction. Just go in the right direction. There's an example of this idea of wisdom in Solomon. Solomon is the king in the Old Testament, and he is the third king of Israel, and he has been wanting to build this temple that his father had prepared all the things for. And so he gets everything finally together. The building is built. It's beautiful. It's great. It's glorious. And Solomon has a party. And as a king, his responsibility was to sacrifice one bull on the altar to celebrate what had taken place. Well, Solomon says, you know what? I'm going to offer 1,000 of them. He goes on to have 1,000 burnt offerings. And as a response to this, God comes to Solomon and says, what do you want? What do you want? And you can't tell me God doesn't honor generosity. Because when you go above and beyond, you can't outgive God. And here's an example of Solomon saying, I'm going above and beyond. And he goes after it. And he says, Solomon doesn't ask for wealth, he doesn't ask for riches, he doesn't ask for, the right wife. He asks for wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, God gives him wisdom and everything else he didn't ask for. And then Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 highlights this understanding that Solomon comes to. He says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. It's the best thing, it's kind of, get wisdom because it's really wise to have it. And then he reiterates, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. So just Get wisdom. It's really important to get this wisdom. And at some point in your life, you're going to say these words, if I only knew then what I knew now. You know what that is? You are now living in wisdom. Sometimes it takes us when we're 25 to go, man, I wish I knew. But sometimes it's 45. Some of you still working on it, 55. If I only, that is an understanding of what wisdom is saying, I don't know everything, but I want to go in the right direction. So here's three things I want you to take away this morning. Is the first thing is to go into divine direction is you have to walk. You have to walk. And let me show you how you need to walk. Proverbs, let's go to the wisest man who ever lived and look at what he said. He said, you want to be wise? You need to walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. You want to be wise? You need to surround yourself with the wise. There's this newer show out. Haven't you seen it? The Live PD. You ever watch that?
Yeah.
That is hilarious. I mean, it is one of those shows. And I laugh because you ever watch that and then wonder, like, how do those people get to that point? And have you ever, like, when there's, like, the police chase and they pull over the vehicle and the idiot driver gets out and he's all like, yeah, man, everything's cool. I haven't smoked weed in a while. I'm just doing spice, you know? It's like, it's all right. I'm doing good. And he gets out, and have you ever seen it? Just clarify for me. Have you ever seen it where the car gets pulled over, the guy that gets out of the driver's seat is an idiot, and then out the other side gets a doctor or lawyer? Have you ever seen that happen? No. If an idiot gets out of the driver's seat, you know what gets out of the passenger seat? An idiot. Because they were going down idiot road, okay? If you want to know where you're going, look at what you're surrounding yourself with. Who are you walking your life with? And if you want to live wise, then surround yourself with some wise people. Trying to serve God and surrounding yourself with people who don't have any desire to serve God will not help you grow with God. And it's almost impossible to live a right life when you have the wrong friends. Now, I'm not saying, like, anybody that doesn't agree with you, cast them aside. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, who do you allow to influence you? Who are you intentionally allowed to come alongside of you and help you in your life? And I would look at three areas in your life, and I didn't put these in your notes, but you might want to jot these down. Three areas that you want to evaluate who's around you. One of those areas is spiritually. How are you growing spiritually? So who do you have around you that is at a stronger place spiritually? You need to have somebody around you that is walking with you. How about in your marriage? You want your marriage to be successful? Then get close to people who have a marriage you want to have. You're going to find out some stuff. One, they're not perfect. Two, they're really trying. And just get around them and go, how are you doing this? How you have, you've been married for 45 years. Show me how you did it. Show me how you stuck around when she annoyed the living snot out of you. Tell me how you dealt with him not living up to the expectations you had for him. How do you find somebody and get them around you? You want to grow spiritually and marriagely and financially. Like, if you surround yourself with broke people, you probably broke. Look around you to see who you're living with. Now, I know this church has some amazing stuff because I've been on your app, and you go to small groups, and you got like I hit it and I went down to small group like, I want to be on that one. You got no excuse. You got no excuse when you've got small groups going on almost every day of the week. In every area of your community, in all kinds of places, covering all kinds of stuff, you have no excuse to not surround yourself with the wise. I love that concept too. It's walking. It's not a automatic, like, oh, they gave me wisdom. Oh. No, it's walking with them. The second thing you need to do is so you're walking, and then you need to ask. You need to ask. This is a promise from God. Every time you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. Let me show you, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. See, this is, we have to have a better understanding of who our God is. He's a heavenly Father who loves you. I started figuring this out as being a dad. My kids may not, I've got a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. My 6-year-old thinks I know everything. Everything. The other day, she said, well, give it to Dad. He can fix anything. I can't, but I know people who can, and I take credit for what they did. My 14-year-old and my 12-year-old, I'm at the point in their lives where they wonder if Dad even, like, knows how to speak English. Well, I'm wondering if I know how to speak English because they don't seem to understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. But there's this, we have to understand that, and I tell this to, especially my 12-year-old girl, she's a beautiful girl, and she's so independent, and I love the fact that she's independent, because any man that tries to date her is going to live through dating hell, and I'm great with that. But she is, she's so independent, and I just tell her, hey, I want you, do you understand, like, if you would just come up to Dad and say, hey, Daddy, can I have, and look at me with those eyes that you have, I will give you whatever you ask for. That's your Father in heaven. He's just waiting for you to ask so he can give you the wisdom you need to go in the direction he's called you to go. We walk, we need to ask. And the third thing is we just need to decide. Decide. Now, I referenced that I live back in the, I come from the VH age, VHS age. Now, there's a new Karate Kid, and yeah. But the old one, you know, where Danielson was learning from Miyagi, and he said, there's a point in the movie where he looks at Danielson. He's asking Danielson, do you want to get better at this? And Danielson, I don't know. And Miyagi says to him, Danielson, must talk. Walk one road, walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk in middle, sooner or later, squish like grape. And what wisdom is there? Because if you decide to walk on the right side, cars aren't going to hit you. Walk on the left side, cars aren't going to hit you. But when you fail to make a decision, squish like grape. Sometimes we just need to make a decision to go after what God has for us. Just go. Yeah. Don't be afraid to make a choice. God gave you a brilliant brain. And when you study out how he gave this brain that works in miraculous ways, and science has not been able to figure out really how it works and all its wonder. And it's, God gave that to you, and he says, you just go and use what I've given you. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. See, we get so consumed with making the perfect choice that we just don't make a choice. And then we go, well, is that God or is that me? Is that God or is that the pizza I ate last night? Or is that the devil trying to get me to walk down and walk off a cliff? What is it? And we get all consumed. And let me just tell you this. There's some things in Scripture that are black and white. Jesus is salvation. But if there is not a moral black and white Scripture for it, God goes, it's on you. Just decide. Just go. We think that God can't figure us out. We forget that God loves us and trusts us. I love this. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul hits this again about just going in that place that he needs us to go. So in 1 Thessalonians 3:1, he says, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. So when we couldn't figure it out anymore, we just decided. We thought it best. We didn't see writing in the sky. We didn't hear a voice from the heavens. We did not hear some, we didn't get some prophetic word that we had to have. We just thought it best. See, my God is with me. And even if I don't get it right, he will help me. I love this scripture in Psalms 32, verse 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Every dad's had this opportunity to teach a kid how to ride a bike. It's one of the coolest things you ever get to do. And so when you get your kid on there, this scripture hits it perfectly. He says, I will guide you to the best path, the path that you need to be on, to go in the right direction. See, you get your kid out there and you find, you don't get the sidewalk full of, you know, holes and cracks and stuff. You get a nice, smooth runway. And you get them on the right path, and then you advise them. And you say, here's what you got to do, buddy. You got to keep your eyes forward and keep your hands on the steering wheel, and you just got to pedal, buddy. And I'm going to be right there with you. And I'm going to watch over you. And here's what happens. You get them all lined up. You get them on the right path, and then you get them going, and you're running behind them, and your back begins to ache. And you're like, dear Lord, can you please learn to do this thing? And you're going through this process, and you're just trying to get them to go. And then at one point, they're pedaling away, and you let them go. And they crash. You know the first person that is there after they crash? Dad. Hey, buddy, it's okay. It's all right. Come on. Get that in there. We're going to make some cool noises. Yeah, come on. You got this, buddy. You got this. Don't worry. Let's try this again. Come on, come on. Let's get back here. You wrecked. It's okay. Now, we're going to try this again. You ready? Get back on there. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to go a little bit further, but they're going to crash. And the first person that's there is their father. See, so many times we're so worried about making a mistake, we think God can't fix. It's impossible. Your God loves you and trust you. And when you make a mistake, you know what? He's going to say, hey, you went and you pulled on the handlebars too quick. Now let me show you how to do that again. And time after time after time, you'll make choices. You'll go after things that he's hoping for you to go with. I need a kickstand on that one. And you'll go after, and you're going to fall, and you're going to fail and falter. But God is there with you. And your biggest falls will end up being your biggest learning moments. Now, I'm not sugarcoating this. Because, yeah, you will make mistakes. And you may end up with an extra bill in the mail, an extra semester in school, an extra kid. But I can promise you this, that extra kid will be the joy of your life. And so many times, our failures produce our biggest joys. And we want so badly for it to be all perfect and smooth. And really, it's a matter of walking forward. Coming out of high school, I had a perfect setup. I was going to be a surveyor. And I had actually walking into ownership of a surveying company. So I went to Akron University, majored in civil engineering, found out I really stink at math. And so I said, God, I don't know what to do. And he reminded me of when I was 13, I was praying. He said, vividly heard him, you're going to be a pastor. I said, no, anything but a pastor. And I struggled and I strived to get away from being a pastor because I believe that there need to be really more solid followers of Jesus in the business place. And I'll be honest with you, I still believe that today. Please don't think that this is a position of greatness, because the position you're in your workplace It's a position God's put you in. And so I said, God, I can't, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do with. And finally, I just said yes. And here we are today, pastoring Authentic Church, preaching at Elevate City Church. Wouldn't that be cool if that was the story? See, the story really is, I floundered for another 3 years, made some of the worst decisions of my life, got married, tried to figure out how to do that, had a kid, tried to figure out how to do that. Messed up time and time again. And eventually, I learned and grew in wisdom. And I can stand here before you today and say, man, I finally knew then what I know now. I'm growing in wisdom. God, help me to be who you want me to be. So I'll do what you call me to do. Help me do it the right way. And you'll lead me to the right ways. Thank you that you are our Father that guides us, advises us, watches over us. Wherever you guide me, I will follow step by step. So, Father, we ask this in this moment that you help us. Give us divine direction for today. I know there are so many in here this morning that have big decisions to make. God, where your word is clear, we will obey. But God, we so often know you give us wisdom to decide. So give us the courage to know we're walking with you, empowered by your Spirit. And give us the courage to decide and the faith to trust you. In Jesus' name. As you keep the atmosphere of prayer in here, there's those of you here this morning that need to make the wisest decision of your life. And that's the decision to follow Jesus. You may be here this morning and you're saying, this is the first time I've heard of this God who loves me in such a way that he would allow me to fail and be there for me. And this is your opportunity to respond to him. The Bible calls it repentance, and all it is turning from trying to do it yourself to doing it his way. For some of you here this morning, and you've been following after him, but let's admit it, you've been kind of doing it your way. For those of you that recognize this morning that you need to follow after him, would you do me this favor? Would you just say, I want to follow after him. I'm making a commitment this morning. Would you raise your hand and saying, that's me this morning. I'm making a commitment to follow after him. I want wisdom. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Will you pray this prayer with me? I would encourage all of us to join in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I give it all to you. Every bit of my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me brand new. Fill me with your Spirit so I can know your voice, follow your voice, and live completely for you. My life is yours, not my own. I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give a hand. God, a hand clap of praise.